Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You gotta let go of the past, let go of the trauma, let go of, of our negative thinking. You know, Frederick Douglass said, and this is Black History Month, so it's kind of poignant, but he said that it's easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for the fact that he was trying to leave men broken, but he was just talking about that intergenerational trauma that follows us. And it's just so important. Because we know that trauma time travels. And so you got to work on you. I mean, we're talking about millions as if it's, you know, because it's now what we're accustomed to. But it's the things we had to break. For me, there's so much intergenerational trauma that had to be broken and working on myself to become a better person, to become a better father, father of two daughters. And, you know, that's my world. And, you know, that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
I had to be. I couldn't be what I saw. I had to be who I wanted to be.
If you're a go-getter, faith-driven, and family-focused, and need to break through to your next level, this is the podcast for you. Your self-talk can reshape every area of your life. It's time to dream and think big. Welcome to the Self-Talk Experience with Darnell and Tracy Self. It's time to elevate, baby. Let's get into the show.
Hey, what's up, Self-Talk Experience family? Darnell Self here, of course, the co-host of the Self-Talk Experience. And no, this is not Tracy Self.
This is not Tracy.
For those who listen to the audio, you're probably like, man, Tracy's voice got deep. I'm here with the godfather of my daughter, and I'm the godfather of his daughter, Mr. Mike Humes, mailman and millionaire. Say what's up to the Self-Talk Experience family.
What's up, Self-Talk Experience family? I'm no stranger to this podcast. You know, if you go back some episodes, you'll see me up there.
You should go back.
Absolutely.
You should go back.
Quite a few episodes. Like, we did two or three. I think we recorded two or three.
I think we did, yep.
Yeah.
I think we did, man. Definitely. Yeah. So it's an honor to have you. Thanks for joining us again. And listen, guys, for those who are new to the Self-Talk Experience, thank you guys for your ear and for opening up your mind to what my wife and I started years ago now because of the things we shifted in our own minds. Started saying different things to ourselves about ourselves, and we started attracting different things for ourselves. And it could feel like, man, is it that important? Absolutely, yes. And that's why I thought it'd be great to have you on, because we're actually at Mr. Humes's, one of his houses, one of his many houses, to celebrate him today. And this is really a celebratory moment, even though I'm joking a little bit, but it is, what a feat. For someone to go from delivering mail, starting a few different businesses, having to navigate through the entrepreneurial world and web to figure out, okay, how do I start having success? And then leapfrog, feels like suddenly, but I know it wasn't suddenly.
Not at all. No, not at all.
To now earning $10 million. That's not in revenues. That's what you've been paid. That's, how does that feel from mailman to millions of dollars?
It feels weird even hearing it. Doesn't feel, it's surreal. I know how hard we worked building the team, and I'm more excited about the, can I say it? Like, what, the $600 million? Just got to edit it out now. The $600 million, the team's been paid. So, you know, I love the fact that we started, you know, building this so long ago together.
Yeah.
And the amount of people we've been able to help, amount of people we've been able to bless as a result. So it's definitely not about me, man, but it feels great to more than anything, you know, it was snowing in Maryland.
Yeah.
And to not be out delivering mail in the snow is the best part. So forget
that. So hold on. So did you, like in my neighborhood, the mail person just comes right up to the mailbox and just puts the mail in the mailbox. Were you right. doing that, or were you on foot most of the time? Because you were in Georgetown.
I was doing both. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In Georgetown, you got to, sometimes you're driving up depending on the route. Sometimes you're, you know, you're walking on foot, and you know, the houses there are kind of huge, and everybody had a dog in Georgetown. like the dogs had dogs in Georgetown. So, but yeah, man, I was on foot, and I was literally running the route because I didn't know that area. Mm-hmm. I knew Georgetown a little bit, but I didn't know, you know, all the back roads and everything. So it was fun though. It was an adventure every single day.
How long did you do that?
5 years, man. 5 years of delivering mail. Wow. Started at 21 years of age though.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
That, man, that's, when I think about folks who are in an environment or career where they're around a lot of other people who do the same thing.
Right.
Right. Because sometimes people are kind of solo in their careers. They're not around a lot of people. And then some environments you're around a ton of people. So we talk about environments and associations a lot. What was it like? How many people were there at the post office where you were?
400 people in the building that I worked in. Yeah, 400, upstairs and downstairs. It was four different zones that were inside.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
Were they like all, because you're in your early 20s at the time, were they mostly your age or?
No, man. No, you rarely do see a postal worker that's 21, a mailman, if you will, that was 21. So you had a lot of folks who have been there 20, 30, some 40 years. So we were babies coming in. Man.
Wow.
It was, and I was different. So,
okay.
So, you know, you come in a little different, you know, chest.
All what does that mean?
Like when you walked into the post office the very first day, and they saw you coming in, and it was me and maybe 10 other people, I think, that started there. I mean, they were yelling like you were walking into the jail, man. They were yelling, new mules, man. They were yelling. For those who are in the postal service, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But you were walking, you felt like you were walking with your sheets, man, like you were going into a cell, man. I thought I went to DC jail or something, man. It was wild.
Wow.
So you had to come in a little, you know, kind of swollen in the chest, ready for whatever.
Right.
And then learn that system at the same time. And I spent time in college, so I was going like part-time for like 5 years. Okay. So I was like a fifth year sophomore at the time.
Okay.
And I was working two jobs prior to being able to become a postal worker.
What two jobs were you working?
I was working at the National Institute of Health.
Okay.
I think
NIH.
NIH. And I was working at the DC Committee to Promote Washington, which was like the Office of Tourism and Promotions.
Okay.
So I was doing a lot of, it sounds good, right?
That sounds impressive.
Yeah, I was putting on like the Taste of DC, you know, no matter what city you're in, Taste of Chicago, Taste of whatever, LA, events like that, Stone Soul picnics, all the type of events that go on in the city. I was responsible for those, man. Yeah.
So were you 19 at that time? 20?
Yeah, I was like 18, 19, 20. I started at NIH, National Institute of Health, at 17, like when I started college.
So you've always had a work ethic?
Always, always. I was working at 13, man.
Wow.
Yeah, 13.
Yeah.
It was the first job. Then 14, after school and in-school program. Like, we had all of that in the D.C. area. In D.C., not in the D.C. area, but in D.C. So, it's always worked.
Yeah.
I had to, man. You know, it was just my mom, my sister, and I. And growing up in that single-parent household, I wanted to be able to pay for my own haircut. Mm. I wanted to be able to buy the boots I wanted to get.
Right.
I wanted to be able to buy the things for my room. Right. I wanted to be able to help my mom out. At the same time, you know, we live in a society, you know, where a single parent can raise 2, 3, or 4 children, and those same 2, 3, or 4 children can't retire that single parent. And I wanted to be able to assist her early on so that I could take some of that pressure off. Cause I could see the struggle that we had. We were in the hood, but it wasn't, we still went shopping often. Like we had things, but we had more than most folks in my neighborhood.
Where'd you get that mindset, man? Like, you know what I mean? Cause it's so easy to say, hey mom, time for you to go to work. Like, right. But you were like, hey, look, I can't continue to watch my mom do something that I know I have the strength to do more of so that she doesn't have to.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's innate for a young black man, honestly.
You think so?
I do. I feel like it's innate if you grow up in that environment and to me, and you see your parents, you know, you do the same thing. Like you see your parents working, or I had an older sibling as well, my sister. So I felt like the man of the house at a very young age. And then you're growing up in an environment where fast money is being made all over the place. You know, gangs are prevalent at that time too. So it was one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to figure it out. So working was, I'm grateful that we had a mayor who, Mayor Marion Barry at the time, right, who made sure every child in the city, if you wanted to work, he gave you a job. Mm. And literally everybody in the city had a job. I mean, everybody. He made the district government and federal government open up their doors. My first job at 14 was I was working at the Veterans Administration building. Crazy.
What were you doing there at 14?
Whatever they had me do, man. It was just filing documents or, running errands. And then I worked at a law firm, ironically, at 16.
I come home just finding out about all these jobs, man.
Yeah, I worked Champ's Cookies right behind that. We had a cookie joint when I was 13.
Hold on, are you joking now? Or you really did?
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah, that was
perfect. Was that even legal to work at 13?
You had to get a special worker's permit.
Oh, because in Maryland, I thought you had to be like 15 before you got your worker's permit.
14 in DC, you could do that, but 13, you get a special permit. So my mom's. But listen, I had to catch two buses after school. Can you imagine? Our daughters knowing something like that at that age. Like, we can't imagine them doing it now, but can you imagine them doing that then? So, you know, I look at that and I'm grateful for those experiences. I'm grateful for that work ethic because it started so early. So once we found the right opportunity, man, that could pay us for bringing that same work ethic, it was game on.
Yeah. And it's so funny, man, because, you know, we grew up, you know, working an hourly rate. Right, for a wage. And that's all we knew.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's $4 an hour, if it's $7 an hour, and you know, the only way you can get more than that if you work overtime.
Right.
And then I realized, you know what? I think I'm worth more. Right. I think that I'm settling. And that for me came from an exposure from Mr. B.
Really?
For Mr. Brooks, yeah, and it shifted me. You know how we say once you've been exposed to something, your mind expands and it can't go back because you know too much now.
Absolutely.
And it was at Cheesecake Factory, and Mr. B. It was quite a few of us who were there. It was like 12 of us, and I don't even remember who everybody was who was there. And you know how when you grow up and everybody, when the check comes, everybody looks like the check is not there. They're like talking, looking away. And then eventually somebody pulls it up and they're like, hey, who had the, you know what I mean? They're going down the list and people trying to figure out how they're going to pay. And I remember the check not being there. And I'm like, I could have sworn I saw the server put the check down. And then I was like, hey, where's the check? And Mr. B's like, no, I got that. It wasn't like he was bragging or boasting. He was like, no, don't worry about that, son. I got it. I'm like, no. We were going to split. We didn't come with the anticipation. Plus, I'd not seen that.
Right.
I didn't grow up in an environment where someone took care of a whole table. Yeah. Now, some folks are like, oh, yeah, that's just what we do. You know what I mean? Now, I'm in a position where my association, we fight for the check. It's like, nah, bro, we had to go trick the server. Like, hey, give that to me.
Right.
That's very different.
It is.
From where I grew up. And I'm not knocking. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm saying it was just different.
It was.
That no one did that. And when I saw that, my mind said, oh my gosh, how must that feel to know that you can do that and not sweat it? To not even think about it. I don't even know how much the bill was. Let's say it's a few hundred dollars. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've watched you take bills for thousands of dollars. It's like, no, it's on me. You know what I mean? And once you see that, you think, because forget eating food or having drinks. You start to think.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
How does that feel to be able to bless others and not worry about what you have left in your account?
Yeah, I remember listening to the late, great Jim Rohn talk about, first of all, not just taking care of the bill, but tipping like a rich man, right? And he said, even if you're not there, that's something you should do. And I just remember saying, man, I want to do that. And he was talking about giving 20% before it was a thing.
Yeah.
Right? Went to 25 or whatever. And he always talked about that. And I said, man, he said, you should tip like a rich man before you get there. And I always wanted to be in a position to do it. So I started doing it, you know, before the post office or around that same time, in anticipation that at some point, you know, the wealth would come. And at that time, wealth was a six-figure income, or a million was like, I mean, man, if it would have taken me 20 years to make a million delivering mail.
Wow.
At that time. So to achieve that through our business at 31 and now to be at 10 is just, it's crazy. But it started with that mindset of tipping, of wanting. It was part of my wants and reasons, man, to be able to give back. I mean, you know, we have a nonprofit. We do a lot of philanthropic work as well. So giving back has always been a part of who we are. It's the fabric of who we are. And yeah, so, but being in a position where you could, you know how different the table feels when the bill is, you know, and it's when someone's taking care of it. Like, it takes so much pressure off.
Yeah.
So.
I remember we were, I forgot where we were. I think it was Dallas. We had some of our teammates who are, you know, rising stars, but they're not where you are yet. And so they sat down, they opened up the menu, and it lit up. So they knew it was fancy, right? And they started looking at each other on the table. I could see the looks, and they were, I know they're probably watching this, they were like laughing. And I was like, hey, everybody, I felt like I could, you know, offer some relief. Right. And I was like, hey, everybody, Tracy and I are taking care of the bill tonight. You know, I forgot, it was like 5 of us or so there. And I was like, Tracy and I, and they were like, they actually did this. Woo! We were over here trying to figure out what we splitting. Like, we're not gonna get a hold of anything. My point is exactly what you said. It's just, it's because people make it seem as though, man, money doesn't matter, but in the right hands, it makes a huge difference. Huge it makes difference. A great impact.
Look, you all just did that for your multiple six-figure ring earners just a week ago. And it had to be about, I don't know, 12 of us or more.
Yeah.
And thank you.
That was it's a pleasure, man. And look, so we're on this, what is it called? A high roller, I think. The thing that goes, it's like a huge Ferris wheel, but like 30 people can fit inside of the actual cart. And so, you know, they take pictures. And so when we're getting off, we were like, all right, they were like, all right, you can get one picture for 30, two pictures for that. And you get the digital pictures. And, you know, we were like, oh, let me see which ones we like. And you were like, hey, how much is it again?
Just give us the whole
pack. Just give us the whole pack.
But it's late. Let's go. Just get them all. It's a lot of us. We'll split this up. Whoever wants the pictures can have it.
Yeah. And look, and this, and for us to talk this way is the reason why people say it's lonely at the top. It's not that it's lonely, but sometimes you don't feel comfortable having certain conversations around certain people because they make you feel like you need to dim your light. Right. And I only want to be around people where I can shine as bright as possible so that somehow that brightness will bleed off onto them and they too will feel illuminated.
Yeah.
No, who wants to feel like, man, I gotta dim my light because I don't want them to feel bad? But that means that's the wrong person. They shouldn't feel jealous. They should feel inspired.
Absolutely. But that's not the norm. You know, the norm is, and especially in this social media driven time in society, man, so many people feel like they have to fake it till they make it. And it's too many fakers and not enough makers, man. Not enough people who are actually doing the work to put themselves in a position where guess what? You don't have to pretend like you took care of the whole bill. You don't have to go get an outfit to floss in it. Yeah. Man. Do people still say floss? I don't know. Get it over, man. But it's a good feeling. Yeah. It's a good feeling to think along those lines. Because when I was at the post office, there were a handful of people who had businesses on the side, and they talked about thinking from an entrepreneur standpoint. It was a handful of them.
Okay.
You know a couple of them. And then there were the majority who were like, hey, young blood, man. Like, you know, they were older saying young blood.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was
like,
settle in, man. Like, you found it. You're here. Like, and I felt the best of both worlds. I bought a house at 21 years of age. Mm-hmm. And so I was locked in, you know, to being there because I knew I needed to be able to pay the mortgage. I needed to be able to pay the bills. And I was working 70, 80 hours a week. But once I found that I could work smarter and not harder, and I could do it through not just the efforts of myself, but assisting others to reach their goals, and together we could grow, man, that was the greatest gift I could ever be given.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you for seeing it. Thank you for embracing that two is better than one. And one plus one could actually equal five.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a whole shift in philosophy that you've had to have, because I know, you know, both of us growing up in the same area, in the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia area, you know, it's easy to think things that look too good to be true probably are. It's probably a scam. Yeah. And I know both of us been told that,
right,
you know, in the beginning of our entrepreneurial world or movement. And, you know, here we are. You know, 30 years later.
Hey, I'm laughing because, as you said, that all I could picture is the last day I was at the post office, like my last day, physically delivering mail. Man, I had friends on my route, like walking me, like, do not quit this job.
I remember telling me that.
I didn't tell my mom for months, man. Like,
really?
I think I was doing a cookout or something, like, and she came over and she was like, Michael. You didn't quit your job, didn't you? I was like, Ma, I quit it a long time ago because I didn't want to scare with somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, they were sharing tears about, you work so hard to get in here and this. And I understand it from their standpoint because they had never come across people who have been the example, who had already walked away from something that they deemed stability when in fact it was a cage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt shackled, you know? I used to say it often that the only difference between, they're like mental incarceration and just how deep that runs, you know, that mental incarceration. And the only difference between me and someone who was physically incarcerated is they knew where they were.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was incarcerated.
Right.
Mental incarceration leads to mental suicide, man. Mm-hmm. You give up.
Yeah.
And I think I was starting to give up. I had locked into this is how it's going to be because I was surrounded by so many people who were giving 30, 40 years of their life to a job. And then, you know, all they did after work was talk about that job. And I just wanted to be different. I knew my day job was no longer my destiny. Man.
Yeah.
I knew that there was more out there for me. And I'm grateful for you, for my bestie, Tracy Self, as well, in really helping me to see a new vision, even while you were in the process of seeing it for yourself.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, this is it's a great moment, man. Like, literally today, I was notified of you earning over $10 million in our business. And I just can't tell you how Tracy and I felt when we received that news. And for me, the most refreshing thing is seeing you win at the level that you're winning. And I think that's hard to fake. Like, people know when you're genuinely elated and emotional at the same time about the success of someone else. And the good thing about our business is that you can't even win at that level without helping a whole bunch of other people win.
A whole lot of people win, man. And that's the great feeling.
Yeah, isn't it the best feeling?
The best part is knowing that in order to get to this point, that I had to help a lot of people, not just earn a part-time $1,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000. Like, it's a great feeling seeing them as they start to believe, like, we started to believe this thing started to happen. And now we know what we're doing now, so it's easy to just, you know, multiply those numbers times, you know, 1,000.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
So, And I think the reason why it became easy, man, is because, you know, not everybody who says it means what they say in that season.
Right.
And so because you and I both, because we have a heart to give and a heart to help other people, we wanted it so badly for other people, but they weren't at a place where they wanted it for themselves.
Right.
And you should always say, look, you can't just help anyone who's not willing to participate in their own rescue.
Absolutely.
And I think that was the issue that both you and I ran into in the early years of us building our business, is we were trying to save the world.
Right, right. I've heard you say it before, man, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently? And I'm not sure if you've shared that with...
I don't know. Why don't you share it?
Yeah. What you say?
Yeah, what I say?
That you wouldn't wait as long to
yeah.
you know, to leave people to let behind.
Go. Yeah.
Hey, you got to let some folks go, man.
Yeah.
You know, I did a whole training on that, right, with Finding Nemo, right?
Right?
It's time to let go. Like, you got to let go of the past, let go of the trauma, let go of our negative thinking. You know, Frederick Douglass said, and this is Black History Month, so it's kind of poignant, but he said that it's easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for the fact that he was trying to leave men broken, but he was just talking about that intergenerational trauma that follows us. And it's just so important because we know that trauma time travels. And so you got to work on you. I mean, we're talking about millions as if it's, you know, because it's now what we're accustomed to.
Right.
But it's the things we had to break. For me, there's so much intergenerational trauma that had to be broken and working on myself to become a better person, to become a better father of two daughters. And, you know, that's my world. You know, that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
I couldn't be what I saw. I had to be who I wanted to be. Mm. So that was a choice.
Mm.
And most people just aren't willing to make that choice to work on themselves or to fight the enemy on the inside so that they can, you know, produce a different caliber of fruit. And not only through this podcast, but through the work that you and Tracy do, man, that's... You're producing a lot of fruit, man. And it's happening. I'm super excited for you and for what is to come, because I know this is just the beginning. It's hard to believe, man. It's just the beginning.
I know. And I'm so grateful what you were going to say.
I mean, it's still young. Like, it seems like, you know, I don't feel like we've aged a whole lot. And every time I run into people, like, man, y'all aging backwards. But it's because we're doing something that we feel we've been purposed to do. And when you're helping people and building and you're living right, it just it comes back tenfold.
Yeah, and I think it's our energy too, right? It's like young energy. It's vibrant energy. It's like when you wake up in the morning, you can't wait to pursue. You can't wait to start your day to follow your passion. And when you found that, man, it's hard to wake up like, oh, another day. He's like, man, I get to go help. I get to go bless. I get to go give. I get to go empower. And that's a different feeling. And so we found that together, man. So grateful to be on this journey with you.
Yes, sir.
And grateful for what God has for us in the rest of 2025. Grateful for our Self-Talk Experience audience, and glad that you guys tuned in yet another Thursday to check out the Self-Talk Experience with Mailman to Millionaire, Mr. Mike Humes. And as the great late Jim Rohn used to say, it's not the money you make, but it's who you become along the way. And that's what we're most proud of.
And next week, you will have my bestie back, Miss Tracy Self. I just had to give her that and, because if you watch the podcast, you know that's her little tagline. And
all right, guys, we will catch you guys next week. God bless you guys. Thanks for tuning into the Self-Talk Experience.
Thank you for listening to the Self-Talk Podcast with Darnell and Tracy Self. We hope you enjoyed. Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. And we'll see you next time. And remember, talk good to yourself. Talk good to yourself.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.